This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. A new report finds a link between where people live and their health. It suggests that people who live in sprawling suburbs walk less for exercise and, as a result, weigh more and have higher blood pressure. The study, published in the September issue of the American Journal of Health Promotion, signals a new phase in America's war on obesity. NPR's Rachel Jones reports.
By the mid-1990s, urban planners like Reed Ewing thought the most dire health effect of sprawl was the risk of getting hit by a car in areas with few sidewalks.
I've worried about loss of wetlands and farmland. I never thought, though, that sprawl might be a public health hazard. And particularly, I'd never thought of the link to obesity.
But by 1998, Ewing says public health experts were trying to sell him on the idea that urban planning might be contributing to America's obesity epidemic. This month, Ewing began a new job as research professor at the National Center for Smart Growth at the University of Maryland. He's co-author of the new research. Ewing explains what the link between sprawl and obesity might be by describing the day of a person living in a sprawling area. It usually means hopping in a car for one thing after another.
Because residential densities are low, because shops and other activities are far removed from homes, and streets are not well connected and blocks are very large.
This new research looked at 488 counties across America. Neighborhoods range from the most sprawling area, Geauga County near Cleveland, to the most densely populated area, Manhattan. More than 200,000 people in those counties were studied. Ewing and his colleagues looked at data about diet, activity levels, and general health. They found a significant difference between sprawl areas and denser neighborhoods.
That difference in place translates into about 6 pounds in added weight living in a sprawling place.
People living in sprawling areas also had slightly higher blood pressure and reported they did less walking. On the other hand, Ewing says people from more compact neighborhoods with public transportation were at least minimally active during daily treks to the bus stop or when they run errands during the day. That's why their health indicators were slightly better.
It's not a huge effect. It's not as big as the effect, for example, of education. It's not as big an effect as race is. But it's equivalent to the effect of eating more or fewer fruits and vegetables.
Ewing says most people choose to live in sprawling areas because homes may be cheaper or they feel safer. But Howard Frumkin of Emory University says that when traveling, people clamor for walkable, picturesque megas like Charleston, South Carolina, or historic cities like Boston.
What's ironic is that in most places, it would be illegal to build a community like that these days. We've got a whole raft of zoning ordinances and building regulations and codes that have emerged over the last 50 years that don't let us build those narrow streets, the mixed land uses, the wide sidewalks, and so on.
Frumkin chairs the Department of Environmental and Occupational Health at Emory. He says local officials generally create single-use zoning codes because they think homeowners don't want commercial development near their residences. But Chris Nelson, who directs the Urban and Regional Planning Department at Virginia Tech University, says those officials haven't kept up with the times.
I think there's a lot of inertia in local government, and so there's an awful lot of education that has to take place among the elected officials, but especially among the voters.
Frumkin says that education should reach mortgage lenders and real estate agents, too. He hopes it will get people out of their cars and onto their feet, because there are many collateral benefits to rethinking development.
Again, if we build more walkable communities and we encounter our neighbors on the sidewalk instead of through the windshields of our cars, that helps to build a sense of community, and that's good for health.
Rachel Jones, NPR News, Washington.